Nothing beyond yourself can make you fearful or loving, because nothing is beyond you. Time and eternity are both in your mind and will conflict until you perceive time solely as a means to regain eternity. You cannot do this as long as you believe that anything happening to you is caused by factors outside yourself. You must learn that time is solely at your disposal, and that nothing in the world can take this responsibility from you. You can violate God's laws in your imagination, but you cannot escape from them. They were established for your protection and are as inviolate as your safety. Listen, God created nothing beside you, and nothing beside you exists, for you are a part of Him. What except Him can exist? Nothing beyond Him can happen, because nothing except Him is real. Your creations add to Him as you do, but nothing is added that is different, because everything has always been. What can upset you except the ephemeral? And how can the ephemeral be real if you are God's only creation and He created you eternal? Your holy mind establishes everything that happens to you. Every response you make to everything you perceive is up to you, because your mind determines your perception of it. Listen. God does not change His mind about you, for He is not uncertain of Himself, and what He knows can be known, because He does not know it only for Himself. He created you for Himself, but He gave you the power to create for yourself so you would be like Him. That is why your mind is holy. Can anything exceed the love of God? Can anything then exceed your will? Nothing can reach you from beyond it, because being in God, you encompass everything. Believe this, and you will realize how much is up to you. When anything threatens your peace of mind, ask yourself, has God changed His mind about me? then accept his decision, for it is indeed changeless, and refuse to change your mind about yourself. God will never decide against you, or he would be deciding against himself. You're still here. Did you hear the opening that went on in the declaration of your necessity to make a fundamental admission that you finally can't decide against who you really are? I was going to use the complex quantum world in the idea of the teaching mechanism. The reason that I would enjoy doing it, and perhaps the time will come when we are able to look at it as a perspective, is nothing but the fundamental admission that the complexity of the idea of the organization of your mind in a true quantum sense, that is, in a single idea that you could be located anywhere within the whole universe without regard to where that location is the fundamental admission of your assumption of the role of the power of your mind to create as you were created. The perspective that you have decided to undergo a new experience of yourself within that body form are nothing at all but a newfound choice that you can now make within the perspective of you in regard to what you want to be true in your idea of separation. A reminder that this is our Course in Miracles on the new satellite coming from the teacher of the author of the idea of the certainty of your resurrection through a process of mind training that showed you in a systematic way how you could lay down the defenses of your mind that previously caused you that pain. In the basic admission that the solution of light and love has always been all around you. And I've come back into time. Come on now. There's nothing new about this teaching. You are in a fundamental idea of memory that you brought with you from your old associations. This is the idea of how you may look at me if you choose. You will believe then that since you're a body, I must be a body. I now become a reflection of your own mind, of this, 77? I'm a 77-year-old body formulation of being born into what appears to be an episode of my body construction that I appear to be surrounded, and this is what we call the planet Earth, with a single sun in which I find an identity of myself within a sequence of the formulation of my body. I live out that cycle within where I perceive myself to be, and I'm obliviated, or I become totally meaningless. Or I admit fundamentally that the problem cannot be solved. Or I'm threatened by my determination to, rather than give, as we taught in the first hour of this association, to retain all of the evidence of the idea of power within our own illusion we can accumulate in order to ensure our bodily formulation of death. You know, hear this with me? I'm going to deny you the possibility. Now you're looking at me as this 77-year-old guy. anybody. There's no manner in which I intend to represent to you in our sharing of the healing process of mind that has anything whatsoever to do with the idea that we are body forms. Say to me, A Course in Miracles. Then, this is a course in the inevitability of a single power of mind that in the truest sense that I can offer you has nothing whatsoever to do with the idea of the reflection of light that we momentarily perceive in our association with each other. Practice of the mind training of a course. I am whole and perfect as I was created. All of my power comes from God. Well, why should I be afraid? What is it that I would be afraid of if the entire dependence of my association with eternal life is only the simple admission that indeed it is eternal? And yet the fear that I feel within my own idea of self cannot not be a moment that is contained within the idea I have of a space-time body. Now, in its most fundamental sense, we have admitted that this power of light is all around us. We have been successful at practicing, beginning in a very fundamental way, that all of the world that we thought we saw within our own mind actually had nothing at all to do with the reality of the energy of light, of universal mind, that's all around us. So the practice that we have orchestrated in the past 12 days of this course have given you a new perspective in regard to how simple the solution was. We have a provision for a little first 50 lesson handbook in which you have had the simple experience in the fundamental admission that everything that you ever saw, everything that you will ever do in this formulation of mind necessitated you training your mind to a new perspective of you that cannot be denied you simply by your own decision to let it be true. Here are those first few lessons. Listen. Nothing I see in this room, from this street, from this window, in this place, means anything. I've given everything I see in this room, or on this street, or anywhere in this world, all the meaning that it has. I do not understand anything I see in this room, or on this street, or in fact anywhere. These thoughts do not mean anything. They are like the things I see in this room or on this place. I am never upset for the reason that I think that I am upset. I am upset because I see something that is not there. I see only what is over and gone. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it actually is now. My thoughts don't mean anything. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world, and I am very upset because I see a meaningless world. And perhaps you're very upset at the necessity for you to acknowledge, in its most fundamental sense, your capacity to recognize the natural power of your mind to determine that this is the outcome that you want to be true. share this with me and want to repeat with me, practice in time. This world that you see was over a long time ago. What lesson in your mind training? Say to me, oh, that's on the seventh day. That's lesson number seven that says, I see only the past. That's lesson number seven that says everything that I'm looking for is totally meaningless for a very real reason, because it's already over and gone in my own mind. Yet I'm involved in the idea that in my conceptual self, I am upset about it. You better listen to this with me, mind trainers. I have no concern about the manner in which you will inevitably train your mind to the certainty that the universe is singular and creates forever, not within the perspective that you identify yourself. This is not where your problem lies. Your problem cannot not lie in the idea, in its most basic sense, there is something other than the love of God, which in truth is what you are. So that if we look at what that lesson actually said, it's going to say that you're upset. Look, I'm upset, but I'm never upset for the reason that I think that I'm upset. The upset may seem to be all of you as a human being, your fear, you're all worried, you're depressed, you're anxious, you're angry, you're hateful, you're jealous, any number of forms, all of which will be perceived as different for each other, but the fundamental admission is that is not really the reason why you're upset. The reason that you are fundamentally upset will be the next lesson. Are you going to hear it with me? Is that you're upset because you see something out there in a body form, are you ready? That's not there. Can you imagine how we feel from the new satellite when suddenly somebody actually comes to a point where he admits that all of his upsetness is first initially contained within himself, but immediately requires the admission that that's not really why he's upset. The reason he's really upset because he is seeing a world that doesn't exist. Now, that's why you need the mind training. The idea that there's a location within space-time that constitutes the entirety of you in an objective association of a reflection of light that brings you back to the idea of fear, anger, jealousy, hate, rage, is all just a moment of containment within your own mind that in reality is nothing but a procedure of the formulation of all of the memories that are contained in your idea of that body form. So we practice a little bit up to lesson number seven, how love really works. Say to me, I see only the past. This is the first week. This is a Sunday. I see only the past. All the grievances that I've been holding on to within my own mind have shown me not only that the world itself in the fabric of light is not real, but that the thoughts I have about the world are as false as everything contained within my own memory. Yet I appear to practice the idea of the relinquishment of fear and loneliness in my own mind, but retain it. This is lesson number seven, in what is actually already over and gone. So I protect myself in memories or ideas about myself in which I can give myself a future reference of a containment, are you listening, where I may both love at this moment and hate and despise at this moment. Ready? One is the love of God. The other is my determination to not allow what is in fact past to intrude on my certainty that through the practice of the miracle of transformation of my mind, I will be whole and perfect. Look with me. The success that you just experienced in that mind training in those first seven lessons, going on up to lesson number 12 and 13, are nothing but an admission within this most fundamental sense that the instant you would decide within your own mind that you no longer want to occupy the idea that you're trapped in space-time, are you ready? You'll disappear. Why will you disappear? Say to me, this world was over a very long time ago. I am upset, not for the reason that I think, but because no matter how upset I am, or no matter how gratified I am at my success in overcoming the ideas of sickness and pain and loneliness of death within my conceptual formulation, the truth is they will have nothing whatsoever to do with the power of mind that's actually available to me in the process of how you just recognized us in a moment of correspondence of mine that had absolutely nothing to do with our bodies whatsoever. Are we going to share together the idea that we can actually train our mind systematically to a moment of perfection? One thing for sure, and I'm looking right at you, if you are going to be persistent in your identity of ego to hold on and defend yourself through willful acts of correspondence within your body form, such it's going to be with you. Look with me, dear one. Thank you. That was a moment of love. There's another. So that suddenly maybe the idea that I was, what did we say, this 77-year-old body? Or you there as that 35-year-old? Or you there with that disease of cancer? Are you there with the loss of all your loved ones? Are you there with all of the particulars in your own mind of memories, of the idea of a human association within form that were nothing but a momentary containment within space-time that you keep reliving and reliving again by your determination that somehow the solution to the problem that you have will be out there, and it's not out there? Repeat with me. This will be the practice of this delightful first 27 minutes. The world I see has nothing to do with reality. It is of my own making, and it does not exist. Thank you. Do you see where your fundamental problem lay? You inevitably, immediately attempted to recognize it within your own concept of yourself. The idea of a miracle, which in its most fundamental sense is the undoing of you, will allow you within your own memory fabric to bring the idea of an old association that you previously found a great deal of love with. Now I'm sharing all the memories we have about body form, all the memories you have about how we loved each other and our ideas of mind and how we objectified themselves within the logistics of the idea that the formulation of the symbolization of the particle identity was necessary in order to love it. Can you teach this with me? Because our first 27 minutes is going to be, yeah, I'm going to show you in its most fundamental sense that nothing can ever be lost in all the universe. So your problem is not that you can lose it. Your problem is you hold on to the ideas of the things that you love, even though they're already passed for your own mind. So you objectify them in the history of the idea of your species, of man, and live within the relics that you then give inestimable value to because they remind you of the love or the war or the history of everything that you are that we share. If I can show you that nothing is ever really lost within your own mind, you may take the joy of, let's use an archaeological dig, where you have gone back to ancient Egypt and have assumed ideas of the formulation of mummies that existed 5,000 years ago, and that all of the history of that is giving you a great deal of joy within your memory of a purpose for why you're here. Yet at that moment, and this is true of you as an economist, or a guy who loves to accumulate money, or a guy who hates everybody, or a guy who says in his memory, I don't want anything to do with anything, cannot escape the consequences of his determination to deny that available to him is a moment of love in all of the memories that he has ever accumulated in the past or in the future without the need to remain within the memory of the body formulation. I'll be right back. Remember that God has gone with us in this procedure wherever we went, and that light that suddenly shined on us was a conceptual joy we experienced in a new idea about ourselves. Because God does go with us, and that's how we can say together, God bless us in this new idea, each and every one. We're back here with you in the fundamental idea that you have begun to have experiences within the mind training that are showing you a direction that you may take. In the simple idea is that I'm not trying to take your love away from you. I'm attempting to show you that there is only love, the obvious problem that you have, until you become more and more successful at the realization that all of space-time is actually going on here and now, you will feel threatened by the old memories that persist in your mind that you bring. I'm talking to every human that appears to be out there in the multitude of body form. Why? The only multitude of body form that I could possibly be concerned about, are you ready, is you. And your persistent need to objectify within your own memory a causation for a continued relationship in the idea that there's a space-time location you can maintain that you call a body is the simple reason why you appear to be here in the body form. Yet the simple truth of the matter is that no single moment does the body formulation in which you identify yourself actually exist at all. So that the power of healing that the old man, the old 77-year-old body formulation is offering you, come on now, we're going to heal each other, has nothing to do with our separate ideas conceptually about what our bodies are. Because if they do have separation of objectivity, of separate location, they cannot not contain elements of conflict that we felt in association with each other. So that while we have moments of sharing, there's one, of the intense passion of an instant of the entirety of communication, many of us inevitably, although we love for that moment, appear, and this isn't mind training, to have lost that love. Why? Shall I tell you why? It's already over. Let's practice this. Can you hear this with me? Look, it's just memory. So many of the songs that we wrote together in These Foolish Things remind me of you. Remember that? Huh? The idea that you retain within your own memory. Okay. Associations we have with each other that we've appeared to have lost. An airline ticket to romantic places. Oh, how the ghost of you claim each foolish things remind me of you. Wow, what an idea. Yet we hold it in our memory and justify the idea of love that we feel. Wow, a fairground's faded swing. A reference that we can find the solution within our own mind. The love that we feel for this moment, even with a basic admission that we're going to love each other until we become old in our body form and deteriorate and get sick and die and carry with us anxieties of the stress of ourself in association with justification for the body, when the solution can be so evident to us in the moment of that communication, which is inevitable in the idea that our minds are split. So all you've really learned from me in the fundamental acceptance of what we term healing of the physical body, healing that I'm offering you as what you think of as this longevity of time, is nothing but a practice of our mind that without having to objectify the idea of my need, for example, let's go to medication, the idea that I must take this medication in order to get over the sickness is a fundamental admission that without the medication, I would die. Can you hear that? All I'm offering you is the certainty that any procedure you have about memories you maintain within your own mind will guarantee you the idea of the longevity of time that expresses your body without a very basic admission that the 50 years, the 100 years, the 1,000 years, what did we teach in the science? The 14,000 million years of the universe, say to me, are you ready? Are always over? so that in the mind training you manage to get to lesson number 7 that says, all I see is always over in God. And if you hold it in your memory and identify it as love, okay, you must lose it. And the idea that you can lose the things that you love is my major objection to you right there's determination to justify your body form. You will fail because there is no such thing as a termination of yourself in that identity. Yet the joy that we're sharing now in the new configuration of our body form is nothing but the fundamental admission, and this is within the ideal of a hologram, the idea that a causal loop has brought us around to the retention of a cause for our objectivity of mind, in which we must have a remedy in order to sustain the body. Yet the realization that you are a manifestation, this is directly from my Savior Jesus, is nothing but a manifestation of the inevitability that I am both a man manufactured and a God created in my entirety as His Son. Let's listen to just one little idea about it. This directly from Jesus. I am the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And when you see me, it will be because you have invited Him. For He will send you His witnesses if you will but look upon them. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. And if that sounds like the New Testament and the idea of totality of Sermon on the Mount, it is. The ego finds what it seeks, and only that. It does not find love, for that is not what it is seeking. Yet seeking and finding are the same. And if you seek for 2 goals, you will find them, but you will recognize neither. You will think they are the same because you want both of them. The mind always strives for integration, and if it is split and wants to keep the split, it will still believe it has one goal by making it seem to be only one. I'm back for just a moment to show you how you have objectified yourself in the idea of this association of body with this association of body, and have momentarily integrated it within your own mind. Yet it couldn't possibly be true within the matrix of energy, very simply because it's a reflection of this in association with a reflection of this. But you listen to me. When you're hell-bent on demonstrating to me your capacity to hold on to yourself in space-time, you will be successful at it, but for no true reason whatsoever. Could you see what just happened there? Now, the idea that you release that defense, let's use me, in your association with me, we instantly shared a merger of the light in a reformulation of our love. Let's read a little more. I said before that what you project or extend is up to you, but you must do one or the other, for that is the law of the mind, and you must look in before you look out. As you look in, you choose the guide for seeing, and then you look out and behold His witnesses. This is why you find what you seek. What you want in yourself, you will make manifest. And you will accept it from the world because you put it there by wanting it. When you think you're projecting what you do not want, it's still because you do want it. This leads directly to disassociation, for it represents the acceptance of 2 goals each perceived in a different place, separated from each other because you made them different. The mind then sees a divided world outside itself, but not within. This gives it an illusion of integrity and enables it to believe that it is pursuing one goal. Yet as long as you perceive the world as split, you're not healed. For to be healed is to pursue one goal because you have accepted only one and want but that one. There's a great deal of joy. Here we go. This was the Galactic Odd Couple. Remember when we showed you that how within your own conceptual idea about yourself, when your mind is split, you will have a notation of dualism within your own mind? Conceptually, it's the fundamental admission that there can be more than one source of reality. Can you see this with me? It's the idea that if I recognize you in formulation of my mind as separate from that formulation, I will exist within my own arrangement of body and have an idea that only, and not only, am I separate within my association, but you, as that body identity, separate from me within space-time, are also different than the idea of separation. This will preclude the totality of the idea of a single reality and will make you unable to understand what we term within the healing process, a teleportation capacity for you to share with me in a moment of mind recognition that we in fact have a direct quantum association of thoughts within our own mind that were always available to you and to us and to every association in its most fundamental sense. Look with me. The admission that the power of mind that we are employing in any ideas that we have, including our ideas of separation, can only give us individually the particulars of our determination to remain separate. Yet if we come from a single source of reality in the universe, why would it be necessary for us to maintain, and I'm into the emotions that we expressed at the beginning, remember those first seven lessons, that I'm afraid of loss, I'm worried, I have anxiety. All of the feelings that I feel are in the particulars of my mind, and I retain them in the identity of myself. Can you hear this, me? There's no one out there that can change your mind for you. So that the practice of love or the conversion of our mind cannot not involve the idea. And we're up now into this mind training, aren't we? That there's another world that I want to see. Remember in that first 50 lesson? I am determined to see. I want other than this world. Listen, I don't know what the other world is. And I can't know as long as my mind is split in my conceptual idea. Look with me. But I can decide at this moment that I have been doing objective association within my own mind in the idea of the speed of light. We always like to say 186,000 miles a second. Yet each reflection I receive back from myself is always an old particular of mine that delies and denies me access to the immediacy of the possibility of communication, not hindered by the idea of old or future self-identity. Thank you for that lovely thought. The fundamental premise, there's nothing outside of me. Say it. I'm deciding the outcome I want. I'm getting the solution. And nothing can deny me the right to do that. Yet the power of decision is mine to make. And I'm going to choose to begin the very fundamental idea that there's an alternative to this and direct my individual attention that I want to escape from the idea that I'm locked in this galactic idea of associations of form, of this little containment of an infinite maze of nothingness, when I know within my heart there's a whole universe out there that I want to see, and that it can be mine by a single moment of the release of the conflict that I believe is necessary for me to remain in a space-time identity. Are you listening? That was actually over a long time ago. In the entirety of the idea that through this Course in Miracles you have found a way to express the conversion of your mind in a very fundamental idea, let's share it together. Or look with me. Say to me, as a body idea within my own mind, I'm afraid. Come on. In its most fundamental sense, the idea of the loss of power as that constitution of body is very simply why you're contained in this matrix of energy ideas that manifest themselves as organizational association of your own mind. I looked at the insanity of your conceptual thought, where virtually everything that you handle can be both joyous to you and fearful. I look at the manner in which you present and sustain yourself in the judgment that you employ within your own mind to decide indeed whether something is beneficial to you as harmful to you. And every one of the guys who presents that practice to me will have an idea that he is going to show you a gratification within his own concept of his mind. But inevitably someone else is going to have to report to him either the fear of the loss of it, are you ready, or the fear of finding it, neither one of which have anything whatsoever to do with the sense of my recognition of the objective fear we are sharing in the idea that for a moment we were lost in space-time. This is in our little book, All About God and How to Find It. The election. Here. I'm not trying to take your fear away from you. In the truest sense, it's impossible for you to be fearful at any singular association because you will always employ the power of your mind to overcome the moment of that fear. It now remains in the idea of your past association, you're going to look with me, where you can give it a specific idea and then determine judgmentally whether it's going to benefit you or cause you concern. The reading that you remain a little fearful are part of the prospects of what we have been offering ourselves in this idea. Here's just two sentences about it. It seems to you this world will utterly abandon you if you but raise your eyes. Yet all that will occur is you will leave the world forever. This is the reestablishment of your will. Look upon it open-eyed and you will never more believe that you're at the mercy of things beyond you, forces you cannot control and thoughts that come to you against your will. It is your will to look on this. No mad desire, no trivial impulse to forget again, no stab of fear, nor the cold sweat of seeming death can stand against your will. For what attracts you from beyond the veil is also deep within you, unseparated from it, and completely one. Thank you. And the idea of the containment, the idea of the self that you have imposed in a direct opposition to what you are, have led you at last to a point where there is we call it a light melody of the sharing of the idea that all was surrounding us in the idea of fear was the certainty that fear could be easily and directly overcome by the acknowledgement of the will of God in the certainty that we can love one another. And the idea that you were fearful is going to leave you now through a miracle of light mind that actually has nothing to do with your formulation of body whatsoever. And what are you going to do with this new idea of self-discovery as you walk within this continuum of time? Everyone you begin to meet out there that previously was a projection of your need to protect yourself in that body form will assume a new role of love for each other in the recognition that we are sharing the eternal love of God. Once again, thank you for tolerating the inevitability that there can be no compromise in your idea of this world of containment versus a whole universe that's out there. You did succeed, and you did leave this continuum, and you have come back momentarily, but now no longer suffering from the amnesia that you didn't know who you were within the fabric of time. We return just for a moment, recognize each other instantly, and extend from us to all of those who still may suffer from the illusion of fear that has denied them access to the eternal love that we have discovered together. Very simply because God goes with us wherever we have gone in our new dream of eternal life and represents the moment of that sharing in a new manifestation that will never leave us, so that we can say together, God bless us, each and every one. And this old world of containment will be gone and is gone in that moment of this course in miracle.